Bye, Mike.
Bye.
Bye.
Have so long.
Good luck at your baseball tournament. Happy we could help you save your uncle.
Yeah. So, man, what a relief. What a weekend.
Yeah. Let's just close the hatch here to the subsea and we can kind of settle in for a long trip back.
Because I think we just let Mike off land in Seattle, which means we now have to make our way back to the NCS recording studios in Los Angeles in order to record our episode, our 747th episode.
Yeah, and I know generally what direction Los Angeles is in.
Like that's south.
South, yeah. But I don't know the exact coordinates. So how are we going to do this? Oh,
of course.
Yeah. Hi, Navcom.
Navcom.
Right. Navcom, of course, is the navigational computer who looks a lot like Rob the Robot.
Uh-huh.
You look like Rob the Robot, buddy. Yeah, you do.
In a good way.
Yeah, we love it, too. But yeah, he in the original game, he demands a frequency, 747, that you get from dipping a letter that came with your copy of Star Tropics. This is that you do in the real world. You dip it in water and a secret message appears and it's like, Mike, it's your uncle. I've been kidnapped by aliens. Here's the frequency to find me at 747.
And this is one of those fun Nintendo secrets.
Yes.
You know, if you happen to rent this cartridge or borrow it from a friend, it's very possible that before the days of the internet, you could reach this point in the game and just be stuck.
Yeah, forever. And I thought it was so cool. It's an anti-piracy measure, but it's also like just a fun, like immersive real world thing.
Right. Like the having the actual physical letter. This is something like I never experienced.
Right.
Because I never owned this game. And now, you know, there's a there were like digital manuals and that sort of thing. Answers on the official Nintendo support website.
Well, I mean, they released this thing on the NES Classic Edition. Yeah, and the Nintendo Switch Online, you're right. Thank you, Navcom. So, like, obviously none of those things have physical components to them. So, like, yeah, you need to you need to just have that information there.
So, I guess we need to make it official. So, Navcom, we're ready to go. The frequency is 747.
Huh.
Okay.
Okay, he's saying that's not enough. Do you need more secrets? 10?
10.
10 secrets.
Okay, well, I only brought 4.
Okay, I have 5 secrets. Okay. So, does...
So, either 7... And I don't know that we'll know until the end, but either 747 counts as one of the secrets, and so we have 9 and we'll be fine, or one of us is going to have to tell a deep, dark secret about themselves.
Does that... Navcom, does that count as a secret about Nintendo? Oh, because we've been doing a Nintendo podcast for so long, our own personal secrets have now become Nintendo secrets.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Hard to argue with that logic.
It's ironclad logic. Geez, I just hope we don't have any repeats between us, because if we come in with the same secret, then we'll have to come up with some other secrets, right?
Yeah. 10. Right. 10 it is.
10 it is. Well, okay. I guess I'll go first.
Okay. Do you want to address Navcom directly when you're at least the start of this secret?
Sure. So, Navcom, for my first Nintendo secret that is, that is near and dear to my heart. Yeah. And I think you'll like it too, because it's from the NES days, is from Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, The Hidden Town of Katsuo. That's right. It's the one that you need to... So there's like an old Katsuo and a new Katsuo. And old Katsuo has been destroyed by monsters. It's a village that you can... You know, just like in all of Zelda 2, you get to these villages and there's like maybe a knight. There's definitely like a wizard. There's an old lady who can refill your magic, that kind of stuff. But you get to this ruined town and there are like invisible monsters and it's terrible. And everyone has just fled the town. But you have to like go through the mountains and find a little patch of wooded area and then use the hammer to clear out the trees and like access this like lone tile that it looks just like all the other tiles until you clear it and then it becomes a village. Have you ever gotten to the town of Kasuto in Zelda 2?
So the no, not by myself. The only time that I've played Zelda 2 is back in 2019 when we played it together for our month that we did on weird sequels.
Yeah, sure.
And so if we did it in that playthrough, then yes, I have, but I've never done it by myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's it is not well telegraphed where it is. There's no, look, there's nothing that you can dip in water to show you the location, right? Right. So, I mean, yeah, it, like, it was a tricky thing to, like, figure out as a kid, and, like, got me, like, got in my head of, like, I'm just going to smash all the trees here and see if there are hidden towns within them. It's, so this is the town where you get the magic spell that's called Spell, and you have to use Spell at the end of this village. So, you know, it's like a linear thing. You walk all the way to the end and use that spell again to get a magic key that unlocks. So, like, you're already at in a secret hidden village. Then you have to use magic at the end of this thing to do, like, another, reveal another secret area. So, that probably still counts just as, like, one secret, right? Yeah, okay.
Oh, that's, that was that's a good try, though. That was a good try.
It could have been two secrets. I've been saying Katsuo. It's Kasuto. K-A-S-U-T-O. And I always feel like this is cues for me the hidden village in Twilight Princess. And I always wondered if they're, like, meant to be related or similar things. Because, you know, how, like, Zelda games have that kind of, like, recursive stuff. But yeah, so that's that is my first Nintendo secret. Good? Cool. All right. Just a couple more.
That's a really good one. Whenever you're talking about Zelda 2, it makes me wonder, how did you figure it out as a kid?
I don't know. I mean, it's possible that I saw it in Nintendo Power. I was a subscriber. It's possible that, like, a friend showed me, but how did that friend find it? I genuinely don't know how I found that secret.
Yeah, I feel like there are a lot of my early video game memories where somebody showed me how to obtain this secret thing.
Yes.
And it's like, I don't know how they figured it out in the first place.
Yeah, arcane playground knowledge. That's right. That, like, you just, someone tells you it at school. And, like, because what else are you talking about?
Yeah, and, like, maybe somebody's friend called the Nintendo helpline and it came through the grapevine that way.
He's right. No one actually did that.
They must have. They kept it around. I saw it in The Wizard.
Yeah, that's a great point. Jenny Lewis calls, gets all the tricks.
But also, like, you know, I never had Nintendo Power, but it's possible that, or somebody bought a guide or something like that. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, I don't remember there being a guide for Zelda 2, but, like, it was definitely featured in Nintendo Power. But, like, that's a pretty late game secret. I believe it's going into, like, the 6th or 7th temple. So, like, yeah, I don't think a regular feature on Zelda 2 would have had that little bit.
Well, can I ask you, while we're on, well, close to the subject, before we get too far away from it, is, do you remember, like, in Star Tropics, is it very obvious that you're supposed to go to the letter and, like...
Yeah, he's right. He says it. Like, he tells you, like, you got a letter from your uncle. And, like, I guess there is a little, like, bit of confusion where you're like, a video game has never pointed me to a thing in the real world, but he says, you got a letter from your uncle, and it actually, like, appears as a typed letter, that is just, like, a fun bit of world building, but then you get it wet, and there's, you know, more info there.
The fact that you had to get it wet, that's pretty cool.
It's another thing where it's like, for an anti-piracy thing, it's like, could you even photocopy that?
Right. No, probably not, right?
Probably
it's like
not.
Special paper.
Yeah. So, really, really good. Also, must have made the package so much more expensive to produce, because you have to then print a piece of paper with, like, water responding ink. Yeah, you're right. It wouldn't be that expensive.
Yeah,
but,
no,
like,
no,
it's still,
right.
It's still something. All right, Mark, your first secret.
Okay, my first secret. My first secret comes from the Super Nintendo, from the game Stunt Race FX.
Oh, this is fascinating. Mark, I love every time you bring up Stunt Race FX.
Yeah. I love Stunt Race FX, because it's a game that we owned, and we didn't own very many Super Nintendo games, and I played it a ton. Like, we did not own Super Mario Kart, and so I didn't play Super Mario Kart at home. Like, if I went to a friend's house or a cousin's house, maybe I would play it there. But Stunt Race FX was my Super Mario Kart.
Sure.
And this game,
sure.
This game uses the Super FX chip mm-hmm. from Star Fox. So it is kind of cashing in on that 3D polygon.
Yeah, the super low poly look. Yes.
Yes. But the illusion, I guess it's, maybe it is like real. You know what I mean? Like 3D.
I think it's actual 3D, right? Yeah, it's different.
Okay.
It's different from Mode 7, which uh-huh. is like pretend 3D. But yeah,
so it's a racer that uses the Super FX chip, and it features anthropomorphic cars that have like googly eyes. And there's like a coupe, like a little yellow coupe. There's like a big truck. Like there are a number of different cars that you can choose from, but there's no like drivers. It is the cars themselves, and I.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, Navcom.
No,
the vehicle can drive itself. That's,
uh-huh.
that's
yeah,
it's fine.
Absolutely. And because it is the Super FX chip, there are a couple of times that R-Wings show up in the game.
Sure.
R-Wings being the ships that kind of look like X-Wings, but they are from the Star Fox franchise. Yeah, fair point. It's definitely not close enough to be copyright infringement. The R-Wing is its own discrete
it's
thing.
It's its own thing.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm just trying to paint a picture.
Right.
Navcom. In one of the courses, it's called Night Course, there's several billboards around the track that just straight up say Star Fox. It's like the it's the Star Fox logo.
Cool.
And
I do like that the Star Fox logo is a thing that exists within the canon of the Star Fox universe because Star Fox is like the name of their mercenary group.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's also like billboards with Fox McCloud's face on it in the game. So they're definitely leaning into the.
Yeah. Like he's a personal injury attorney. That's right.
Into the Super FX of it all. And so in this Night Course track, if you run into the wall underneath the first three billboards in the track, they will come like they'll fall down.
Uh-huh.
And when you do that, an R-Wing from Star Fox appears over the track and drops an item like a power up for you.
That's
and
nice.
Then just like flies off.
That's pretty good. Is that something that like once you discovered it, you did all the time?
Because it was super. Because it was like, oh, this is really cool, and it's a way to get this like what felt like a very like special. It was just normal, you know, like speed boost, but felt like a very special thing in the game.
I mean, do you have to like? Does it slow you way down to like run into these billboards?
Well, so Stunt Race FX is. I find it now to be basically unplayable.
Sure. Yeah, he agrees.
when it appeared, I think it was on the Super Nintendo Classic Edition, and I believe it's on Nintendo Switch Online right now. Going back to it, I could not understand how I ever was able to control these cars going at fast speeds.
Right.
It's very particular, and the physics of it are very particular.
It doesn't hold up in the same way that like Star Fox does.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not. But I can't remember what your question was.
My question was, don't you get slowed down so much by running into these billboards?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Running into things at high speeds is a recipe for disaster because your car can only take so much damage before you explode in like a cartoony, you know, like your wheels shoot out in all directions and your googly eyes like get all buggy. And, so you have to do it at a very like, kind of slow speed. It definitely slows you down unless you're willing to take a lot of damage.
Yeah, sure. But you would do it anyway because it was like a fun secret.
Yeah,
totally.
And
it.
Again, I was spending hours and hours and hours in this game. So
right, because it's a game you had.
Exactly. So like, yes, I got very fast at certain tracks, but then also you just sometimes leisurely take your time running into walls, seeing what would happen.
That's a good point. Why didn't they ever make another Stunt Race FX? Was it just like, they made a Star Fox games until like, forever. But this one Super FX chip game, they were like, nah, forget it. We're done after one.
Like, yeah, I think it's like ARMS. You know, sometimes It's a solid outing. Stunt Race FX probably sold decently.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was enough love for it either within Nintendo or from audiences to like crave another one.
What was that made by Nintendo internally, or was it a Rare game?
I think it was made by Nintendo internally.
Okay. All right. All right. So that is now another secret. Is that a good secret for you there, Navcom?
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's annoying that Navcom is not telling us if 747 counted as a secret, and so we don't know whether that's two secrets or three secrets.
The printout just says ha ha ha. He's laughing at us.
Oh, Navcom.
I don't appreciate that. Well, okay, I've got another secret here. We're just going to stay. You mentioned Star Fox. Obviously, Star Fox was a big part of your Stunt Race FX one. And I want to talk about Star Fox 64, a game that I love and to this day I view as like the platonic ideal of what Star Fox is, right? It has all these branching paths and like all these reasons to like go back into play what is a relatively short campaign over and over again. You know, one of those things is that it will reward you with medals based on the number of like points you clear the level with. So when you kill one enemy by itself, you get 1 point. If you kill two enemies in one shot, you get a plus one. So you get the 2 points for killing the two enemies. Plus one is three. You kill three enemies at once, you get the 3 points plus two or plus, you know, whatever. There's this like multiplier effect. So it's all about like charging up shots, waiting for them to get in clusters and then blowing them up. That's how you get these medals. I'm getting to it. And so there's also, in addition to like going back in to get these medals, there's a multiplayer mode, this split screen, like 4-player battle mode, basically. And you could play as the R-Wing, which looks like an X-Wing, but is legally distinct. Okay, great. Or you could play as the Landmaster, which was like a tank. But if you got all the medals in the regular mode of the game in every level, and then did it again in the expert mode, you could do the multiplayer mode, but on foot.
Whoa.
Yeah, they don't normally let you play as the Star Fox characters running around, but you do exactly that. You want to see, like, Peppy the Rabbit running around with a bazooka on his shoulder, like, shooting down R-Wings? That's the only way to do it, is to, like, totally master this game and have a secret mode where you're running around on foot.
So is everybody on foot, or is it a mix, and was it like wildly unbalanced?
It's a mix. You can still choose to be in the R-Wing or in the Landmaster. The scale is kind of messed up, that like the on foot guys are still like a little bit bigger than they should be, on foot you're super slow. The gun that they have like deals a little bit more damage, but like you are kind of debilitatingly slow.
That's a pretty good reward for getting all of the medals, because a lot of times Nintendo loves this idea that they're going to either give you a joke reward or collecting everything as its own reward.
Right. But it's also one of those things that's frustrating, because it's like so hard to get all the medals, and like you kind of just like want to access running around on foot as the Star Fox characters shooting at each other. I never did, no, because it seems impossible. But it was always like a goal that I set for myself of like, I'm going to, and I can't tell you the number of times I played through those games on expert mode, trying to get those, the three medals in every level. And it's so, so hard. You have to be perfect at the game.
That's a great one. That's really fun.
Does that count, Navcom, as a proper secret? Great. Okay. And will you tell us how many more we have to give you?
No,
he won't.
Okay, well, it's my turn then to give another secret. And this one is from Breath of the Wild. And I've talked before about how one of my favorite things about Breath of the Wild was everybody was having different experiences, discovering different things at different times. And so part of the fun of that game is...
No, he started with the Gorons. That's weird.
Oh, wow. That is weird. That is a choice.
How do you survive the Elden Volcano without like getting some armor first? Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think to do that. See, this is one of those things. Okay, no need to be snippy. this is all that, like, preamble is to say that, you know, this is not something that I figured out for myself,
sure,
or anything like that. But one thing that I think is very cool, a very cool detail or secret in Breath of the Wild, is that the background themes for all of the divine beasts include the Morse code for SOS in them when you first enter. And it continues to be part of the theme until you activate the first terminal, at which point the theme changes and it's no longer there.
Whoa. So it's just like the repeating, like, dot 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 dash 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 dot dot dot.
Exactly. And okay. it's hard to hear because it's like woven into it, but it's not like super prominent. A lot of times, like, one of the channels is doing the beeps for SOS, but then there's unrelated beeps coming out of the other audio channel.
Yeah,
so you have
sure.
to, like, so it's
you got to isolate
it's hidden
it. Yeah.
in there, like, it's really, but it is in there. And I think it's such a cool, almost like, story detail, just the idea that, you know, before they died, those
yeah, they were
champions
like
sent out a distress signal that never got that never reached anybody.
Yeah,
because
was
oops,
never
all
answered.
Calamity.
Right.
And then when Link goes there, it's still sending out that distress signal until you, like, activate that first terminal.
Yeah.
And then it stops.
That's pretty cool. I like that it's just, like, a little bit of extra, like you said, a little bit of, like, storytelling that, like, you have to put together the pieces of, like, what that means. Man, Breath of the Wild's a good game.
It's a really good game.
Good game with lots of cool stuff.
Yes, that counts as a...
Okay, great. Okay, yeah, good. Look, we spend... I mean, I don't know about you, Mark. I spend a fair amount of time looking at, like, things you still don't know about, like, Breath of the Wild or whatever. So we could probably just tell him, like, a million secrets from Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, and that would let us go, right? Okay, he says no.
Okay. And Navcom, just to be clear, are you connected to the internet?
Just Facebook.
It oh, like. Got okay. it.
I am so sorry, Navcom. But you got, like, GPS and stuff, right? Yeah,
okay,
great, good. Okay. That's a great secret. Mark, for my next secret, I'm going to look. There are a couple of things about me that are, like, extremely on brand, right? Making us do a Star Tropics themed episode. That's very me. But I'm also going to talk now about secrets in Mario Paint.
Oh, very good.
NES. Mario Paint, when you start it up, turn the game on, there's a mostly white screen. It says Mario Paint 1992 along the bottom, and like Super Mario World Mario, like, kind of walks through the frame, and you start the game by clicking on Mario. The cursor is like a big, you know, like gloved hand, very like Mickey Mouse. I guess it's very Mario. That's how you get into the game, right? And then you can start drawing. But the other things on the screen, which are just the words Mario Paint, is a smorgasbord of, like, fun little Easter eggs that you can activate by clicking on each of the letters. They all have different effects when you click on them. And Mark, I'm going to walk us through all of them.
Yay!
So when you click on the M, Mario shrinks. Super Mario becomes regular size Mario. Yeah, and you can click it again, and Mario gets big again. And it's got, like, the sort of sounds of, you know, Mario shrinking and Mario growing. When you click on the A just, like, falls. Like, it just drops out of its place. And then, like, slowly another A, like, lowers in from the top. If you time it right and the Mario that's walking around is under that A, you will knock Mario off the screen with the A. And he sort of, like, appears first and then the A follows back down.
That's so good.
You click on the R. I know, the R is creepy. But, okay, so here's what... When you click on the R, the, like, space inside the top of the R, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a capital R, right? So that space that's, like, in that
loop. The R hole, I think that's what it's
the
called.
The R hole takes on, like, a pink fleshy color, and there's an eye in the middle of it. and it drops down to like the level that Mario is walking on, and it kind of like walks away, and it makes this like sound as it walks away, like it's an alien or something. When you click on the eye, all of the colors go negative, so white becomes black and all that, and the music gets like high-pitched and weird, like it's kind of sci-fi-y. And then when you click on the O at the end of Mario, the O becomes a bomb with like a little fuse, and it blows up the whole logo, and then the music changes afterwards until you like click on another letter to sort of like restore it. P, the P in paint, when you click on it, it like changes the whole background from the like solid white background to a sort of like pastoral landscape that is made up of or sort of populated with the different icons that are like the instruments in the Mario Paint Music Maker. And you can like click on all of those things. Like it creates this whole like vista with like dogs and pigs and like a plane that flies by, a shooting star. And you can click on all these things to make like different sound effects and stuff happen. You click on the A in paint and it makes Yoshi run across the screen. And of course, like the little timbales like are added to the music for like the 3 seconds that he's there. When you click on the I, it makes all the graphics on the screen start to like jiggle and shake. Yeah, like from Dr. Katz or the first season of Home Movies. Yeah, that's Squiggle Vision. And the music gets all strange too. When you click on the N, it does like the game's credits roll over that white screen. And then there's like a little backing drum track that gets added to the music there. And then finally, when you click on the T, your cursor becomes like a rainbow crayon and you can just draw all over the screen there. So are those secrets? Like they feel like fun little surprises, if nothing else. And is like the kind of thing that made Mario Paint feel like more than just a like MS Paint replacement.
Yeah, you know? That's really fun. And I guess we'll have to turn to Navcom.
Yeah,
to
that's his name.
I know. I'm sorry. I was about to say Navbot, but I know that's not your name.
We know that's not your name, and we know your name isn't Rob either.
That's right. So Navcom. I feel like that counts as a secret. Yes.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Counts as a secret. So, do we have just 4 more to go? He's not telling.
Yeah, I have 2 left. But okay. That was a good try, though.
I also have 2 left. Yeah.
Okay. My next secret is from Super Mario Sunshine for the Nintendo GameCube, a game that I like quite a bit, despite its many, 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 many flaws. Navcom, a fan? Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I completely agree. So a fun thing about this game is that there's a level called, well, this part of it is not particularly fun, called Serena Beach. And it is like in perpetual sunset. Mm. And on Serena Beach, there is a hotel called Hotel Delfino. There are a couple of shines that you get before going into the hotel, and then there are some shines like in the hotel itself.
Is this the one that starts with like the octopus fight?
I can't remember if
my memories of this game are fuzzy.
Yeah,
so.
I can't remember if it starts with an octopus fight. The part that the like kind of early level part that I remember of it is there's a bunch of like the paint or like goop or whatever it is.
Yeah.
All over the ground, and you. And then there's a bunch of like shadows of squids that are like in it, and they like break apart and just get smaller and smaller. Okay. And so you're using Flood to try to like clear all the goop and clear all of the like squids out, basically.
Oh, Navcom just assuring us that, well, we don't know whether or not Flood has a soul, that Navcom does have a soul.
Well, I mean, no offense, Navcom, but like, I don't know that I buy you saying you have a soul as definitive proof that you have a soul. Yeah, you might have just been programmed. It's not an argument. Not even my mother calls me that. You take that back. I'm not getting in an argument with you now.
I don't think it doesn't. It's not worth arguing with him.
Okay, the important thing is that Serena Beach from above is shaped inarguably like a GameCube controller.
Sure.
But if but arguably is shaped as a GameCube controller that is plugged into a GameCube with like a GameCube mini disc on the side. And so, Patrick, I'll show you what I mean. I have a illustration here of like the map from above. So, say like the north at like the top of the screen is there is like a fountain that has two mini fountains that act as like the buttons on a GameCube controller.
Right.
And then there is on the left-hand side, like another fountain with a something in the center, which acts as the analog stick. And then there is two like umbrellas at the bottom.
Right, for like the C-stick and the D-pad.
And then the hotel would be like the GameCube with the path running up it being the cord plugging into the GameCube.
Sure.
And then on the left-hand side, you have like another little area that looks like a mini disc.
So like an external disc drive for the GameCube?
I'm imagining like a disc that has been removed from the GameCube because you have Super Mario Sunshine in there.
Right. A game that you like keep returning to over and over again that you have to like pull out.
Right, like Need for Speed 4 or whatever.
Yeah, or Smash Brothers. Yeah,
Smash Brothers.
Right. So that's the secret here is just that like the layout of this level is an Easter egg that looks like the GameCube controller.
Yes. And I mean, there's just a lot of, I think they were inspired by the fact that the code name for the GameCube was Dolphin.
Yeah.
Because Isle Delfino is shaped like a dolphin. There are a bunch of dolphins.
Right.
Like statues. There's, dolphin art. Like, Dolphin is all over this game. Like, GameCube is all over this game.
Yeah, that's interesting that they don't, like, that's not a thing I associate with, like, Nintendo doesn't do that a bunch, where they're like, yeah, here is all the, sort of, like, it's, like, the meta stuff, right, that's, like, made text in Sunshine. Like, I was thinking about Astro's Playroom, which is a sort of pack-in experience with the PlayStation 5, which is like explicitly a celebration of PlayStation hardware, in that like you are collecting and unlocking different pieces of, you know, like old PlayStation consoles and peripherals and controllers and stuff like that, that you can then like visit in your like trophy room. Like, I guess Nintendo does that with Smash to some extent, and I guess the WarioWare games. Maybe Nintendo does do it. I just need to recalibrate my thinking.
But no, I agree with you. Like, I don't think of Nintendo as being super self-referential.
Right, unless that's like the point of the thing, right? Like, Smash, the point of it is that sort of WarioWare is as well.
Like, occasionally it shows up in surprising ways.
Yeah.
That, like, I'm thinking of Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins for the Game Boy, and there is an entire level that is like you're climbing on the N and B blocks, which were Nintendo's like take on Legos.
Right. Yes.
Back that, in like the 1960s.
And that's the is that the Mario Zone?
Yeah, it's in the Mario Zone.
Yeah. When you're like climbing up a giant
Mario automaton.
Right. Or you are made tiny. This is another, just like Princess Peach Showtime, where like some of these transformations maybe make her tiny.
No, actually, that's a good point. I was good, because it is true that in the rest like of Super Mario Land 2, you're regular size, but there's no reason that when you're entering the automaton, it can't shrink you down.
There is also that level where you go inside the tree.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
How big is that tree supposed to be?
Right.
That's a great point. Great point, Navcom. So, Mark's observation about the hotel area, that counts as a secret.
Okay.
Great. Cool. I've got another one here then that I think maybe only doesn't really count as a secret, but I think it does. It's something that I was not expecting that a game offered me that I was surprised and delighted by. Right. And so light spoilers for Pikmin 4 here. Obviously I am new to the Pikmin franchise. I very much enjoyed my experience with Pikmin 4. When you get to the point where you have rescued Olimar in Pikmin 4, you can then play a like brand new mode in the game that is telling Olimar's story of him getting stranded on this planet. And that is basically a recreation of the mechanics of Pikmin 1, where you have 10 days in order to find, you know, a certain number of ship parts. And that's the restricting factor. It kind of like puts the pressure on you in a way that the base game doesn't do. But you revisit all of the worlds that you played through as your custom character. But you know, the things are in different places, and instead of having your dog Ochi, you're riding around on Moss. And it's just like a super fun, amazing surprise that the game is like, now here's like a sort of sideways take on the whole game that you've just played. But sort of through the prism of the original Pikmin.
That is really fun.
And was one of the when I first encountered it, I was like, oh no, this is going to be so hard. How am I going to do this? And then like, I played it and it was fine. And I even had entire days left, that I could have burned. But yeah, it was just like a super fun and rewarding experience. And, was the thing that made me go, cause you know, in reading about it, it was like, this is like Pikmin 1. And that's what made me go, okay, I just have to get all these things. Just absolutely loved it.
I haven't played Pikmin 4, but I do get in my Instagram algorithm Pikmin memes a lot, and Moss is a favorite subject of Pikmin memes, and in the memes, Moss has a lot of attitude.
Yeah.
And is that from the game, or do people just really like Moss, and so they...
Yeah, well, that's not till the last level of like the normal game. You run into Moss, and she is because you know all they're like you're rescuing a lot of people who've been like overtaken with the leafling thing, whatever the disease is. I forget what it's called in the game. So she is working for like the leafed up Olimar. So while you are dragging things back to your ship for like parts and you know what have you, she will like scare away your Pikmin and start to drag things back to her base. It frequently comes off like attitude.
That's fun. I love Moss.
Moss is great. Moss and Ochi, they're all timers. Like I think they're incredible characters. Next to, of course, the Navcom robot from Star Tropics.
Of course.
You are Star Tropics, Navcom robot. You are one of my all-time favorite robots. A special place in my heart for you. It does still only count as one secret. You're right.
and also, what was that, Navcom? I think you're right. We haven't done an episode about favorite Nintendo robots. That maybe is one that we need to do. Are there that many robots with souls? That's an important distinction that count.
Right. I think we should do it. What's the name of the robot in Star Trek? Or Star Trek?
In Star Trek. Navcom, ignore that.
Star Fox is what I was trying to say. I feel like his name may also be Rob. Yeah, who knows? You're right.
Who knows?
That's my secret. Can we get another secret from Mark?
Okay, so this is my final secret that I have prepared. Nintendo secret. And it comes to, and is it a secret at this point? No. I think everybody, unless you are a small child experiencing it for the first time, which it could be true for a lot of small children, is not a secret. But it's from level 1-2 in the original Super Mario Brothers.
This is the first thing that Sarah said to me when I asked her what her favorite Nintendo secret was.
And I think it is maybe one of the... I mean, maybe it's just the best video game secret of all time.
It's foundational, right?
And it is that you are able to break through the top of the level and... basically run what's out of bounds to find this warp pipe.
Or if you want to just basically skip the level, you can just run across the top of the level and exit it as normal. Or you can access these warp pipes.
Yeah. But the fact that you are able to break through the top, kind of like run up where the heads-up display is, and you can, like that, it feels so transgressive and cool. And
it does. It's like Looney Tunes, right? Yeah. Like in some ways, it feels like you're erasing Daffy Duck.
And it's the second level
in the game.
Second
level in the game. Yeah.
you know, and you could play Super Mario Brothers and never do it.
Yeah.
And still have a great time. But it's like one of those things where I don't know how I learned about it. I'm sure that I did not. I was so young, you know, like I was more watching my mom and my siblings play video games than I was playing them myself. So I don't know where I first encountered this, but just the I remember seeing it and just thinking it was just so completely cool.
It is a good accessibility thing too, because like you can warp ahead to these like tougher levels. I think it's like 2, 3, and 4, right, that you get to choose from. And so like levels that you may not have been able to actually get to, especially when you were younger, that you can at least see a little bit of just by warping there.
And you know, this is all headcanon, so I have no idea. I would guess it's probably not true. But to me, it feels like one of the things that Nintendo does really well, and Breath of the Wild is a testament to this as well, is reward curiosity.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, like you will test the boundaries of something, or like, can I do this in this game? And then you will go try, and yes, you can. They have prepared for you to do that. And sometimes it's finding warp pipes, and sometimes it's like nothing at all other than just the fact that, hey, they thought about somebody trying to do this, and they made it so that you can. And, you know, the game doesn't break, or you're not walled off by invisible walls or something.
Yeah, well, and that's actually one of the things that made this exercise a little bit difficult in preparation, was that so many of the things that like surprise me, or that are secrets to the player, as in they're not revealed to you explicitly, you sort of have to experience them or encounter them on your own, are things that the game like intends you to find at some point. Like one of the things that I had on my list for a while, but it was like, no, I'm going to find like more obscure stuff, was just like the moment in the Sand Kingdom in Super Mario Odyssey, when you put on the mariachi costume and you are like let into that bar, and it's just like a mariachi band playing, and Mario goes up there and he like plays the guitar for a little bit, and it's just like charming, and it just feels like a thing that doesn't have to be there but is, and delights me, and was a surprise. Is that a secret? I don't know.
Right.
But like Nintendo's just gotten so good at like, no, the things in the game are secretive, are surprising, are delightful. You know, I also had on here the like appearance of the rundown Lon Lon Ranch in Breath of the Wild. They never like call it out, but like you can see it, you can recognize like, oh yeah, here's the place where like you race the horses. Here's like the barn or what's left of it. Just really cool stuff like that.
Yeah, completely. And I feel like, not that it started with Super Mario Brothers level 1-2, but it's easy to trace a lot of that back to that.
Yeah, I agree. It's also interesting that like Nintendo isn't normally one for just like including like button combinations as like passwords, like those kind of secrets. There's no like Konami code that you can apply to like all Nintendo games. That's just like, they want you to find those kinds of things through the course of playing the game instead of like some other like backwards way of like accessing it.
Yeah.
Speaking of backwards way of accessing things, you're out of secrets at this
point? I'm out of secrets. So
okay. So hopefully this is our last one. We won't say.
I'm still not saying.
Okay. So for my final secret, we've mentioned this machine a couple times already. But the NES Classic Edition and the Famicom Classic Edition are amazing little machines that were impossible to find when they came out. But, you know, it's an NES loaded with like 30 games and one controller. You could buy a second controller until they sold out, which took 4 seconds because every store got 3 of them. Anyway, they are exciting little machines. Because they are cool, but also because they're imminently hackable. But when you like get into the like hacking mode and you're actually like in there to like mess with its guts, there's a little message tucked away in there that displays when it senses that you're doing this. And the message reads, quote, "This is the Hanafuda captain speaking. Launching emulation in 3...2...1. Many efforts, tears, and countless hours have been put into this jewel. So please keep this place tidied up and don't break anything. Cheers, the Hanafuda captain.
So good.
It's so like they're like, look, we know we can't. We can't stop you from doing this. But like, keep everything neat and tidy here. Don't ruin. We put together a great little list of games for you to play. We understand you're going to muck around with it, but like, please, we worked so hard on this. Yeah, just like a heartfelt little plea from this enigmatic Hanafuda captain.
That's so good.
That's so good.
And feels like very Nintendo in the same way that, because I feel like Nintendo is sincere.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and so I feel like that is that's the image that they have cultivated very well.
Yeah, look, we know. We walk a weird fine line with this show where it's, are we, like, worshiping a company that has more money than any other company in Japan? Sure. But it's something that makes us happy.
It's something that makes us happy.
And we perceive sincerity.
Yeah, from this giant corporation.
Right.
But I do think that is one of the things that is appealing about
them. I agree.
And so it feels it feels human as well. Like having those sorts of like messages in there.
Yeah.
And it's again just going back to that attention to detail that we talked about. There's no reason you have to put that in there. Nobody,
no.
You know, there probably wasn't like, you know, a Jira ticket on somebody's Kanban board, you know, to like put a secret message.
Right.
Actually, and if there was, either way, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. If someone was like, we need to, we've made the corporate decision to put more personality in this device. The trick works on me, right?
Yeah. You signed up to buy everything this company.
Yes, I did. Of course. Here. Of course.
And I'm doing it, even though I didn't sign up.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, why it seems like you've just been doing it, too.
Well, I didn't.
You didn't buy the
I didn't buy the Joy-Con.
Right. Or any Amiibo.
Yeah.
But why start now?
Hey, great point. Not an Amiibo collector?
Evidently like not. Not even like the soft like Yarn Yoshi ones. Doesn't like the direction of the series Super Mario World 2.
Not even Rob the Robot?
Oh, Mark, you got him.
Oh, yeah.
You got real work.
That was egg on my face.
He's really upset.
Okay, well then I am hesitant to ask then if we reached the 10 secrets that you need in order to return us to Los Angeles.
Okay, he's calculating.
Okay. Paper is printing out. Wait, we're two secrets short.
How can we be two secrets short?
How can we be two secrets short?
He says he's a navigation robot, not a math robot.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so we got to come up with two secrets.
Okay. All right. Okay, here's one. Here's one. This is me. This is a me secret. I hadn't seen Godfather 2 I hadn't seen either. I hadn't seen any Godfather movie until recently. I watched Godfather 1 and liked it a lot.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't get through Godfather 2. I don't think it's a very good movie. Hey, I'm just bearing my truth here. But does that count as a secret?
Does it count as a secret? Yeah, okay, that
okay,
counts as a secret.
Okay, okay.
Well, I mean, can I share the same or a related secret? It's got to be something different. Come on, let me do it. We'll see if it counts. I've never seen any of the Godfather movies ever in my life.
Oh, so now you're a film expert.
Yeah, I look, buddy.
There's a lot of movies out there. Not everybody has time to see all of them.
Right. Well, and also like the first two like came out when well before I was tuned into movies. Like, and I know that there's good stuff that happened before I was born. Whatever. Look,
you know what? I feel whether that counts as a secret or not.
You know what?
I'm glad you told me.
I don't, okay, listen, Navcom, I said at the beginning of this that I really liked you, that you're one of my favorite Nintendo robots, but this is getting to be a bit much. Mark, we know the direction south, right? We can just sail south of here.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we need you, Navcom.
No, Navcom, you're not going to bully us anymore.
That's it. Mark, open the hatch. I'm throwing this guy out.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm unlocking the air seal.
Oh, he is not happy. So long, Navcom. Okay.
Keys.
That's going to do it for this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society. Thank you so much for listening. Anthony DeLuca made our logo. Our theme music is provided by 8BitBetty. You can get more of his music by going to 8BitBetty.com or by listening right now. For my co-host, Mark Mitchell, this is Patrick Ellers. Oh, Navcom, you're back. Will you take us to LA now? Oh, thank God.